知音服务源于聆听，亲爱的奉献者们，大家早上好。今天是2021年1月27日，星期三。我们再次荣幸的邀请到了 Radha Charanpa 为我们继续讲解《永恒的切丹念经》Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita。Hare Krishna。
Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda。
Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda。
Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda。
Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda。
Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda。
Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda。
Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda。
Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda。
Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda。
Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda。
Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda。
Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda。
Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare。
Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare。
Reading from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila Chapter 24, the 61 Explanation of the Atmarama Verse。
今天我们继续来阅读永恒的切丹念经，是 Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila 中篇逍遥的第24章 Atmaram 师节的61项解释。
We are speaking this morning from Shrida Mayapur。
今天早上我们在 Shrida Mayapur 给大家直播。
We've been here for 1 year now。
到目前为止我们已经在 Mayapur 待了一年了。
Hare Krishna。
Hare Krishna。
We have 2 questions left from last week。
我们还有两个问题是上一周遗留下来的。 OK， 第一个问题来自于 Samboga 顶拜咕噜顶拜翻译。我问的这个问题可能与今天的讲课内容不太相符，主这个年住在灵性世界的什么地方？The question is, where does Lord Chaitanya live in the spiritual world?
There are different levels of realms in the spiritual sky.
在这个灵性的天空当中呢，也分成不同的王国。
There's the Vaikuntha planets.
有这个 Vaikuntha 无忧星宿。
And then there is Goloka Vrindavan.
还有 Goloka Vrindavan.
Between Vaikuntha planets and Goloka Vrindavan, there is the place of Lord Ram, which is called Ayodhya.
在 Vaikuntha 和 Goloka 之间啊，还有一个就是主 Ram 所住的这个地方，就是 Ayodhya.
And then in Goloka, there are different locations such as Dwarka, Mathura, and Vrindavan.
那么在这个 Goloka 呢，它也有三个不同的区域，一个是 Dwarka， 还有一个 Mathura， 还有一个 Vrindavan.
So there is one section in Vrindavan, which is the place where Lord Chaitanya is.
在这个 Vrindavan 呢，有这么一个区域，就是主 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 的地方。
So the devotee of Lord Chaitanya has the luxury of residing 2 places simultaneously.
所以呢，作为 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 的追随者啊，就非常有幸的同时住在两个不同的地方。Okay, next question. 奉献者的阿兹奇迪和 Varna 的婆罗门有何区别？感恩 Guru. The question is, what's the difference between the second initiation of a devotee and the Brahmana? From the Varna.
We're going to discuss this today.
你的这个问题，我们今天的这个课上来讨论。
Okay.
好。
So we're going to continue the teachings of Lord Chaitanya to Sanatana Goswami.
我们继续来讲主 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 对 Sanatana Goswami 的教导。
We discussed last week that Sanatana Goswami from on all the rules and regulations that conduct the life of a Vaishnava.
那么在上周呢，我们就看到了沈南堂哥斯瓦米就一个 Vaishnava 奉献者在他的灵修生活当中所应当遵循的规范原则，要写这样的一部书。那么关于如何去撰写这样的一部书，沈南堂哥斯瓦米呢就来请教马哈帕布。
So the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are the foundation of the Sankirtan movement.
那么这个 Mahaprabhu 的这个教导呢，就是我们整个的 Sankirtan 运动、齐颂圣名运动的教导的基础。
And all throughout his life, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructed a certain number of devotees.
Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 在他的一生当中呢，他教导了很多的奉献者。
And based on those instructions, books were compiled.
那就是基于他的这些教导呢，这些奉献者们他们就撰写了一些重要的书籍。
But before compiling these books, Lord Chaitanya made sure that the supremacy of Lord Krishna was established.
但是呢，在他们编撰这样的经典书籍之前，主 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 得确认。就是至尊人格首先是处于已经确立了他的最高的地位。
And he did that by establishing the authority of the Srimad Bhagavatam.
那么他首先就是确立 Srimad Bhagavatam 圣典博迦瓦坛的权威的地位，以此来确认至尊主 Krishna 的至高无上的至尊人格首先的地位。
So Srimad Bhagavatam is established as the foundation of bringing Krishna in the midst of Kali Yuga.
所以呢，圣典博迦瓦坛呢，就是在卡利年代的一个基础。那么就是通过圣典博迦瓦坛 ，Krishna 就来到了众生之中。
And through the Srimad Bhagavatam, we get to understand the position of Krishna within this material world.The position of Krishna in the spiritual world and the position of Krishna in his original eternal abode of Vrindavan.
那么正是通过圣典博迦瓦坛呢，我们才能够真正的去理解 Krishna 在这个物质世界的地位，在灵性世界的地位，以及他在灵性世界的最原本的居所 Goloka Vrindavan 的地位。
Now,When we talk about books, there were no books in those days.
虽然我们现在呢说的有书籍，说的书籍，但是事实上在那个年代里面并没有这样的书。
Originally, we know that knowledge was given from mouth to ear.
我们知道呢，最原本知识是通过口耳相传的。
Lord Krishna, I mean, originally Krishna gave.The Vedas to Lord Brahma through the ear.
那最原初呢，这个 Krishna 他是通过聆听，他把这个伟达经典传递到主 Brahma 的心中。
The first verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam explains, "Ridaya adi kavaye." Lord Krishna revealed within the heart of Lord Brahma, who was the original adi kavi, is the original writer of the Vedas.
主 Brahma 他是 Adi Kavi 就是指伟达 Adi Kavi 就是圣他是伟达经典最原初的这个编撰者那么主 Krishna 呢他是把伟达经典传递到了主 Brahma 的心中
Then this knowledge is passed down to Narada Muni it's not given in form of books it's all from mouth to ear
然后呢主 Brahma 就把这门知识通过口耳相传的方式传递给了 Narada Muni 它并不是以一种书的这个形式的而是通过聆听
Then we come to the junction between Dwapara Yuga and Kali Yuga where now books are needed
然后呢就慢慢到了这个 Dwapara 年代和卡利年代就是铜器年代和铁器年代的交汇点那在那个时候呢这个书籍就变成了一个必要
Because people become sinful and the result of sinful activities is loss of memory, especially when it comes to retaining transcendental knowledge.
因为在那个时候，人们他们已经陷入到罪恶的活动当中，那么其表现就是说，记忆力急剧的衰退。这个最主要也就是表现在人们已经难以把这个灵性的这个知识铭记在心了。
When it comes to remembering the fine aspects of sense gratification, people can remember every detail. When it comes to remember transcendental knowledge, people fall asleep.
嗯，就是说，如果说到感官享乐的种种细节的时候呢，人们就会如数家珍。精密的最细部细最细的那些感官享乐的这种细节，人们都能够记得非常清楚。但是，一到这个灵性的超然的知识的时候，人们呢就会非常的厌倦，昏睡不止了。
So Vyasadeva began to compile the Vedas. They were actually written down.
所以呢 ，Vyasadeva 呢他就开始了编撰。书籍，那么它实际上这些书真的是以文字，就是记录下来的，也就是说呢，是成了书。
He also wrote the conversation between Krishna and Arjuna, which is the Bhagavad Gita.
而且呢，他也记录了 Krishna 和 Arjuna 之间的对话，这就是国家梵歌 Bhagavad Gita.
Which means that he wrote the entire Mahabharata because the Bharata Gita is part of the Mahabharata.
也就是说呢，他写下了整部的。Mahabharata 摩诃婆罗多，因为 Bhagavad Gita 国家梵歌就是 Mahabharata 中的一部分。
And he also wrote the 18 Puranas.
然后他还写了这个十八部奥义书，哦不，往事书，宇宙古史。
So the 18 Puranas are divided into three sections: Puranas for ignorance, Puranas for passion, Puranas for goodness.
然后呢，所以这些 Purana 呢，他们就主要是分成三个部分。其中就是六部呢，它是为善良形态的人准备的，然后有六部是畸形形态，还有六部呢是愚昧形态。
So Purana means old, means ancient. So these are ancient histories where the philosophy is given in story form.
那 Purana 的意思就是宇宙古史，那就是是非常古老的这个历史。而哲学就镶嵌在这些宇宙古史里面，通过这些历史的描述得到传递。
And then Vyasadeva compiled the Srimad Bhagavatam.
然后呢 ，Vyasadeva 呢又编撰了《圣典·国家瓦坛》。
So these are all books that were actually written so that there is something for the people of Kali Yuga to fall back on for spiritual progress.
那就是这些呢，都是真正的落于文字而编纂成册的。这样呢，这个卡列年代的这个人，当他们需要去灵修的时候，他们就有一个文字上的依据和支持。
But how were these written? They were written on palm leaves.
那这些文字它是都写在什么地方呢？一开始就写在那个棕榈叶上。
And there were no, you know, public libraries keeping the Vedas in a vault, and then you can only touch them with a special kind of white gloves.
也不是那个时候也没有这个就是图书馆，并不是说这些伟大经典都是一册一册的珍藏在这个图书馆里面，就像是那些珍贵的古籍一样，然后你得戴上雪白的这种特制的手套。戴在手上之后，你才能去翻阅。
So only those who were actually very, very spiritually advanced could still memorize such literatures.
只有在灵性上非常高超的这些人，他们才能够记住这些灵性的文献当中的文字。
Now the Chinese are claiming that they were the first one to invent paper.
中国人呢，他们认为。这个四大发明当中的这个造纸术是他们那个创造的。
That true?、
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yes.
But then the Europeans claim they were the first one to do printing.
然后欧洲人呢认为他们是最早的进行印刷的。
What's his name? Gutenberg.
就是
German.
这是一个德国人啊，他就是说呢，他 he is considered as the first.
the first one to actually do printing of books.
啊，那他被认为是最早的去印刷书籍的人。The Chinese also said that.
Yeah, I mean, the Chinese said they are the first one in everything.
我说中国不是也说活字印刷吗？但是中国人经常说好多东西都是起源于。
Okay, let's give some credit for the Chinese this morning. No problem.
好吧，今天早上我们就赞美一下中国人了。
But my point is that in the 1400s and 1500s in India, there were no books.
那就是说呢，在这个13世纪和14世纪的时候，其实在印度呢，那个时候还没有真正的编纂成册的书籍。
We remember in Lord Chaitanya's travel to South India, he discovered the manuscripts of the Brahma Samhita.
我们还知道就是当这个齐檀尼马哈佛布到南印度旅行的时候呢，他就发现了这个 Brahma Samhita， 有一个翻译叫梵天本纪或者叫婆罗诃摩赞当中的一部分。
So he had to copy it to get a copy.
然后呢，当时呢，他就得把它抄写下来。
And then he found another book, Krishna Karanamrita, which is another book by Bilva Mangala Thakur. He also had to write it.
然后呢，他又发现了一本书，就是 Krishna Karanamrita， 就是 Bilva Mangala Thakur 他所撰写的这样的一部书。而当时呢，为了要保留这本书，他也是把它copy，也就是抄写下来的。
Then when he arrived back in Jagannath Puri, he gave those two manuscripts to devotees and they had to copy it themselves.
然后呢，后来他就回到了 Jagannath Puri 的时候，他就把他自己的这两个手抄稿呢带回到了这个 Jagannath Puri， 然后再给予这个奉献者们，然后奉献者呢也是通过同样的这种方法去把它抄写拷贝的。
Now, if you look at the original writing of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, these writings are available in one research center in Calcutta.
那如果说我们要追溯一下 Chaitanya Charitamrita， 就是永恒的 Chaitanya 经最初的这个原稿的话，那么我们可以在加尔各答的一个研究所的当中，一个档案馆里面可以看到。
The whole Chaitanya Charitamrita was written on palm leaves, you know, long like this.
这个最原本的这个 Chaitanya Charitamrita 永恒的 Chaitanya 经呢，它是刻在这个棕榈叶上面的。然后大家知道那棕榈叶就是像西藏的那个经文一样的，就是长长的这么一条一条，然后一页一页分开。
I mean, when you look at the writing of Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami in Bengali, his writing is as good as a printing machine, and he was 100 years old.
那如果说我们去看一看 Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami， 也就是这 Chaitanya Charitamrita 的著作者，那么他的这个手记，我们就会发现它刻在这个棕榈叶上的那些字，就像是真正的这个印刷出来的一样，字迹极其的工整。而大家也别忘了，他当时已经是100岁的高龄了。
So everything was handwritten, everything.
所以当时所有的一切呢，都是书写下来的。
I mean, even in the early days of the spreading of Krishna consciousness.In Russia, devotees, someone would get a Bhagavad Gita, they stay up all night, they stay up until they finish handwriting. There are copies of handwritten Bhagavad Gitas in Russian.
甚至是在 Krishna 知觉近代的早期的发展的过程当中，在俄罗斯，也就是前苏联，那个时候呢，奉献者们，他们就会找到一本薄伽梵歌，如获至宝。然后他们就通宵达旦的把它抄写下来，就形成了一个手抄本。
Because you would never dare going to a printer to get a Bhagavad Gita printed.
因为那个时候啊，去印刷薄伽梵歌绝对是不被政府所允许的，所以说谁也不敢就是冒这个风险去专门去找一个正规的印刷所或者是印刷公司去印刷这个书籍，像这样薄伽梵歌这样的书籍。
No one ever had to do this in Chinese, right? To write the whole Bhagavad Gita by hand?
在我们中国可能还没有这样子吧，不至于如此。真的就是说把它变成一个手抄本这样子，用手把它写下来。
So I'm explaining all this because we are witnessing here really the foundation of the Sankirtan movement, where Lord Chaitanya is giving teachings into the heart of a pure devotee as Sanatan Goswami.
那我想说的就是我们在这里就是这一段 Chaitanya Charitamrita 看到的这番情景实际上就是我们的 Sankirtan 运动齐颂圣名运动的一个最 坚实的一个基础一个地基其实这个就可以追溯到这个时候就是 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 呢把去教导一个最纯粹的奉献者 Sananta Goswami 给予他训示
And he spoke to him for 2 months, every day for 2 months.
然后呢，就是在两个月的时间内，每一天，Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 呢都会和 Sanatan Goswami 传授灵性的知识。
Prior to that, he spent 10 days with Rupa Goswami, and he also gave him instructions on the basis of the science of devotional service.
在这之前，他也曾经跟 Rupa Goswami 朝夕相处了十天的时间。也是这样每一天他都把这个奉爱服务的科学传授给Rupa Goswami.
So the intention is for Lord Chaitanya to empower those two pure devotees so that they can establish how to make progress in Krishna consciousness not just for a few people but for every single human beings in this world.
那么 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 呢之所以要这样做呢其意图他是想通过 Rupa Goswami 和 Sanatan Goswami 让就是让通过他们的这个努力来帮助所有的人能够在 Krishna 知觉在这个灵性上面得到这个进步而不是仅仅局限于少数的几个人
So they go to Vrindavan and they don't check into a guest houseAnd then open their laptop, get on the Wi-Fi and start typing. It was a jungle. They went to Vrindavan to stay under the trees.
那么当这个 Sanatan Goswami 和 Rupa Goswami 到达 Vrindavan 的时候 并不是说就进了一个宾馆付了钱进一个宾馆然后进自己的房间打开一个手提电脑连上 Wi-Fi 就开始打字了。这肯定不是这样的一个情景当时呢到处都是森林密布
One time when devotee told me I'm prepared to live on an island all on my own with nobody else around just make sure there's 4G
曾经有一个奉献者跟我说他说我愿意马上就到一个孤岛上面去生活就是这岛上没有任何人只有我在那里不过有一个前提必须要有四季
No, they sat in Vrindavan living under trees there were no homes and they were just spending their time writing about the science of devotional service for our own benefit today and in the future
那么当时呢他们就是四处为家他们都是住在这个大树下面然后呢就在那里就是一刻不停的在书写有关于这个奉爱服务的这个科学那他们呢就是用这么多的时间落于文字就是为了对我们这个现代人让我们受益并且让我们未来的子孙后代受益
And they wrote many books. Both of them wrote many books.
然后他们两个人呢，都写下了很多的书。
Both on the technical aspect of sadhana bhakti, and then they wrote also poetry and books that completely go into the different loving relationships between Krishna and his pure devotees.
那么一方面呢他们就写了有关于这些 Sadhana Bhakti 就是规范修习就是奉爱服务中的规范原则这些然后另外一方面呢他们也就深入到 Krishna 和他的奉献者之间的这种各种各样的丰富的情感
And All these literatures, practically speaking, are available today in different languages.
那可以说呢，他们当时留下的这些文字，到了时至今日呢，已经都翻译成了各种各样的文字，在全世界范围内流传。
The Bhagavad Gita is available in 75 languages.
现在的这个博迦梵歌已经有了75种语言的版本。
Srimad Bhagavatam at least 20 languages.
圣严博迦瓦坛至少也有20种文字。
The Chaitanya Charitamrita the same.
Chaitanya Charitamrita 也是一样的。
And gradually, all the books of the Goswamis are translated from original Sanskrit and Bengali into different languages.
然后呢，逐步的，就是六 Goswami 的这些著作呢，他们就是从这个梵文翻译成了孟加拉文，从孟加拉文再翻译成了现代的英文，其他的这些文字。
Now, originally, the Goswamis, even though Lord Chaitanya wanted them to write books, and Lord Chaitanya definitely had in mind that these books were the benefit of human beings.
当 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 让他的这两位门徒去撰写这个书籍的时候，他是非常的明确，他深知这些文字将会为给人类带来巨大的贡献。
The Goswamis.Were not right, their mood in writing those books, they didn't even sign the books. There was no author.
那这个Goswami 们他们去撰写这些经典的时候，甚至都没有署上自己的名字。换句话说，这些书上面都没有标注到底谁是作者。
Today, when you buy a book, the publishers make sure that the name of the author is bigger than the title of the book.
但是到了现代呢，这个出版社要出一本书的话，往往在这个书的封面上，你会看到作者的名字比书名还要大。
Because it sells, it makes money.
因为呢，这样子很有可能就成为畅销书，可以卖出好多
钱。The name of the author and the key title of the book that makes money.
这个作者的这个名字和这个书名呢，这都是价值千金的。可以卖出好多钱呢。
The Goswami did not sign their books.
但是呢 ，Goswami 虽然留下了这些书册，但是呢，却没有署上自己的名字。
They wrote it for their own purification.
一方面，他们写这些书是为了自己的净化。
And of course, the standard procedure for writing books, number one is you have to be a pure devotee to write books on the science of Krishna consciousness. That's the first prerequisite.
那说到了这个书写编纂这些书籍的一个原则的话，那当然首先你要有这个资格去写这些书。所有的写有关 Krishna 的主题的书的这些作者，他们首先都应当是纯粹的奉献者。
Secondly, every book of every acharya always begin with Mangala Charanam.
然后呢，就是所有的这些传承当中的就是 Acharya 们历代的先师们，当他们写这个书的时候，首先的话，他们就要先要有这个顶拜祷文。
So Mangala Charana means that you give profuse praise and offer your respects to the previous Acharyas and to the Supreme Personality of God.
这个 Mangala Charana,
Mangala Charana,
他就是写这。这个顶拜祷文首先呢，就是说在他们落笔之前，他首先是向至尊人格守神和他之前的这些先师们做出顶拜，敬献给他们祷文。
Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami does that for every at the beginning of every chapter.
那么就是 Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami 呢，在这个 Chaitanya Charitamrita 中呢，它是每一章的一开始。他都要有这样的一个祷文。
Which means I am not the author, I am just repeating the words of Krishna.
他的意思呢，就是表明我并不是作者，我只是在重复 Krishna 的话。
So now Sanatan Goswami is approaching Lord Chaitanya because he knows he needs to write what is known as Vaishnava Smriti. In other words, what devotees should know about.How to practice Krishna consciousness.
那么现在呢，就是萨那坦·戈斯瓦米呢，就要着手写这么一部 Vaishnava Smriti， 就是写这一类书 Vaishnava Smriti， 意思就是说，对于一个要修习Krishna 知觉的一个奉献者来说，他的师知就是他得知道，这其中有哪一些这些规范呀，或者哪一些内容，哪一些灵性的这个知识。那首先呢，他就要去请教 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu， 获得他的准许和授权。
So Lord Chaitanya is going to give him what he calls a synopsis. Synopsis means just a very brief essence of what he's supposed to write about.
那 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 呢，现在呢就要给他有一个概要，给他讲一个概要。所谓概要就是说，要对他接下来要写的这个书当中的这个内容的精华进行一个提炼，以一种非常简短的这种方式给他一个概览。
And he says, in the beginning, describe how one must take shelter of a bona fide spiritual master.
且他亚马哈帕布说的第一点就是说，一开始呢，你要去描述一个人如何去脱避于一位真正的灵性导师。
Because spiritual life begins by taking shelter of a spiritual master.
因为这个灵性的生活是始于对一位真正的灵性导师的脱避。
In our case, we all come to Krishna consciousness and we take shelter of Srila Prabhupada. This is the very, very first step.
那对我们来说呢，我们进入到 Krishna 知觉运动当中，首先脱避的就是 Srila Prabhupada， 这是我们的起步。
No Srila Prabhupada, no Krishna consciousness.
也就是说，没有 Srila Prabhupada 就没有 Krishna 知觉了。
So, first thing is to take shelter. Lord Chaitanya says, Guru Lakshana, Shishya Lakshana, Donahara Parikshana, Seva Bhagavan Sarvam Mantra Vicharana.Your book should describe the characteristic of the bona fide guru and the bona fide disciple. Then, before accepting a spiritual master, one can be assured of the spiritual master's position. Similarly, the spiritual master can also be assured of the disciple's position. The supreme personality of Godhead Krishna should be described as the worshipable object.And you should describe the Bija mantra, which is the seed mantra, for the worship of Krishna, as well as that for Ram and for other expansions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
那这个时候，其他的亚马哈帕布就教导陈南坦格斯瓦米说呢，你的书应当去描述真正的guru 以及真正的门徒的特质，接着呢。在接受一位灵性导师之前，一个人必须要确认明确灵性导师的地位。同样的，一位灵性导师也要确认门徒的地位。至尊人格首神 Krishna 应当被描述为被崇拜的对象。然后接下来呢，你就应当去描述崇拜 Krishna、崇拜 Ram 以及至尊人格首神其他。扩展的 Bija Mantra 就是种子曼陀罗。
So it is mentioned that everyone has a father and a mother.
那他就是指出呢，就是每一个人其实都有父母。
We are alive because we have parents.
我们之所以有生命呢，是因为我们本来就有父母。
And our parents were alive because they had parents.
那我们的父母之所以获得这个生命，也是因为他们有父母。
But not everyone will find a guru.
但是并不是每一个人都能够找到一位 guru 灵性导师的。
So when we find a spiritual master, we take a second birth.
所以呢，当我们去脱避一个灵性导师的时候，就好像是第二次出生。
Mother is Shastra, father is guru.
就是说呢，这个 Shastra 经典是我们的母亲，而这个灵性导师 Guru 呢，就是我们的父亲。
And this is how the disciplic succession and the Vaishnava community is perpetuated.
这个整个的Vaishnava 的使徒传系的
expanded
No. The first one is the Parampara and the
Vaishnava community.
还有就是 Vaishnava 的这个社团，一个是 Parampara， 就是使徒传习，然后还有一个是 Vaishnava 的这个社团呢，就是这样建立和延续的。
So guru makes disciples, disciples become guru, guru makes disciples, disciples become guru.
所以是这样子的，就是灵性导师呢启迪这个门徒，然后呢这个门徒又继续成为灵性导师，然后呢这个灵性导师再启迪门徒，门徒再成长成为灵性导师，就这样。
If you stop that system of disciple taking shelter of guru, then that's it. You kill the Vaishnava community. You kill the parampara.
如果说你把这个门徒对灵性导师的这个托庇把它摘除出去的话，那我们的这个使徒传系，就是这个师徒的传承，还有我们的 Vaishnava 的这个社团也就不复存在了。
And especially one who takes shelter of the spiritual master.They've got to make sure that this spiritual master is alive.
而且还有一个呢，就是说，如果你要托庇一位灵性导师的话，那也要首先有个前提，有个保证，这个灵性导师还在世。
No one takes initiation from a spiritual master who has passed away.
就是说，一个灵性导师呢，他已经故去的话，你就不能再去接受他的启迪了。
This is not part of the Vaishnava school.
这个不是我们这个 Vaishnava 学派的一部分。
So, Prabhupada gives quite an extensive purport to explain what Lord Chaitanya is saying, and his purport is based on his own guru's writing.
那么然后接下来呢，就这个时节，是 Prabhupada 给出了一个篇幅很长的一个要旨，在这里呢，他有讲到了Chaitanya。Mahaprabhu 的这个具体的这个教导，那他呢也是基于他的灵性导师的这个教导来写的。
So there are two aspects in this verse. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is explaining about the qualification of the guru and then the qualification of the disciple.
那在这个师节当中呢，其实Chaitanya Mahaprabhu讲到了两个部分，一个呢他是指出了作为灵性导师 guru 的资格，然后另外一方面他也指出了身为门徒应当具备的资格。
And this particular teaching is handed down all the way to the different acharyas who are putting this instruction into practice based on time and place.
然后呢这些教导呢就是通过这个使徒传承代代的相传下来的，而每一代的这些灵性导师呢，他们都是基于当时的时间地点和当时的情况，就是因地制宜的来进行这个描述的。They write according to, 而且他们是身体力行去实践，而且去教导的。
So, Srila Prabhupada begins by saying, the spiritual master is situated on the topmost platform of devotional service.
Srila Prabhupada 就写到了，这个灵性导师呢，他处于奉爱服务的最高层面。
There are three classes of devotee, and the spiritual master is situated on the top class devotees.
然后他说呢，这个奉献者分成三类，而孤儒明性导师呢，他应当是处于最高的阶段。
So we have to understand this very carefully.
那要去理解这一句话呢，我们就得非常的谨慎。
Because we can't just take one statement and just take it word for word. We have to look at the big picture.
就是说我们不能只是摘出这么一句话然后呢就是说停留在这个文字的这个表面去理解，我们应当要有一个很大的一个全景，把它放在一个全景当中去理解这句话的深意。
So, three classes of devotees means Kanishtha, Neophyte, Madhyam, Intermediate, and Uttama, Topmost Devotee.
这个就是分成三类奉献者 Kanishtha Adhikari 就是说初级奉献者 Madhyam Adhikari 中级奉献者是 Uttama Adhikari 就是最高的这个奉献者。
Now, Śrīla Prabhupāda explained in the Upadeśamrita, the nectar of instruction, which was written by Rūpa Goswāmī.
Śrīla Prabhupāda 在 Rūpa Goswāmī 所编撰的 Upadeśamrita, 也就是教会的甘露里面说到
that you can have a neophyte guru, you can have a more mature guru, and you can have a very exalted guru.
就是说呢你所接受的 guru 也可以分成是三类的 一位是初习者的 guru 然后呢接下来是更加成熟的 guru 然后呢是最精进的这个崇高的 guru
But only the utmost uttam adhikari pure devotee of Krishna will bring you back to Krishna.
但是只有 Uttam Adhikari, 就是最高级的这些奉献者们奉献者他才能把你带回到明星世界 带回到守神身边。
However, the Madhyam Adhikari Guru is the one who is in the best position because he is engaged in spreading Krishna consciousness, therefore,He makes disciples.
但是呢实际上 Madhyam Adhikari 就是中级的二级的这个奉献者这样的一个 guru, 实际上呢他所在的这个位置呢是非常的有意义的。因为他是身体力行在传播 Krishna 知觉也就是说呢他是要接受门徒的这样子去传播 Krishna 知觉。
And even if you are looking for an Uttama Adhikari,That Uttama Adhikari needs to come down to the Madhyam platform in order to teach. Because Uttama Adhikari is, to their eyes, everyone is a devotee.
因为在 Uttama Adhikari 这些高级的奉献者的眼里所有的人都是奉献者所以他就没有必要再去传道授业解惑了所以呢他会自动的主动的降到这个 Madhyam Adhikari 中级奉献者的这个层面这样子呢他才能够去教导世人。
So there are many Uttama Adhikaris, many pure devotees, but they take the position of an intermediate devotee in order to practically spread Krishna consciousness and reclaim the conditioned souls.
所以呢实际上呢 Uttama Adhikari 就是高级的奉献者一流的奉献者其实有很多他们都非常的纯粹但是他们就是主动的来到了这个终极奉献者 Madhyam Adhikari 的这个层面了这样子呢他就能够去传播这个 Krishna 知觉然后呢去救赎那些受条件限制的广大的灵魂
The second qualification Prabhupada mentioned is that the guru is not limited to a particular group
然后第二点是帕帕指出的就是一个 guru 他并不是说局限于某一个团体的
And that Prabhupada qualifies this statement by quoting the very first verse of the Nectar of Instruction
那么是帕帕就引用了奉爱的甘露这部经典当中的第一个诗节来说明这个问题
That a guru who controls the senses and the mindbecomes qualified to accept disciples all over the world.
那就是一个 guru 呢他如果能够控制自己的感官和心意的话他就有资格广收门徒。This is Upadesha.
Yeah, Upadesha. Next of instruction.
我刚才说错了就是这个是就是教诲的甘露。Upadeśamrita 里面的第一个世界就是一个能够控制感官和心意的一个人他就可以在全世界有资格广收门徒
So we have to understand the context of that statement that anyone who is completely absorbed in Krishna consciousness who has a strong sadhana and who has senses and mind under control they are gurus
所以呢我们就要明确一点一个完全沉浸在 Krishna 知觉当中的然后是非常严格去修习能够非常好的去驾驭和控制自己的感官和心意的他就有这个资格成为一位guru 可以去收门徒
In that sense the guru is a much broader definition thatGuru means one who teaches, one who gives knowledge.
换句话说，在这里，这个 guru 的这个 含义呢，它就更加的是广义的了。因为意思就是说是一个能够去传授知识的这样的一个人。
And one of those or some of those actually take the position of initiating spiritual masters.
但是在这么多孤儒当中，可能有这么一个或者是有几个呢，他们就承担了去启迪门徒，也就是说成为启迪灵性导师、启迪孤儒的众人。
So which means we have instructing gurus and initiating gurus.
那换句话说呢，我们就有这个训示孤儒和启迪孤儒。
And oftentimes, Prabhupada explained, the initiating guru is also the instructing guru.
那释迦牟尼佛他也解释说呢，很多时候呢，就是这个启迪孤儒同时也是训示孤儒。
Now, next point Prabhupada makes is that there are many people who claim to be gurus.
然后接下来下一点呢，释迦牟尼佛在要就是说呢，有很多人自诩是guru.
But in the context of Gaudiya Vaishnavism and Lord Chaitanya's mission, the guru is one who spreads Krishna consciousness all over the world, not stays in one place in his small village and be self-claimed.
但是呢，就是根据这个 Vaishnava 宗的教导以及 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 的这个教导，Vaishnava 宗的这个原则呢。所谓的这个 guru， 他应当就是说去全世界去传播这个灵性的这个知识的，他们会走遍全世界，而不是说只是待在自己所在的一个小小的村庄，然后足不出户，就是但又自称是 guru。
So such a person becomes an acharya.
那这样的一个人呢，他就被称为是 Acharya。
Now we have to read between the lines when Prabhupada is talking about this is because Prabhupada is actually addressing the class of people in India who think they are gurus when actually they have no qualifications.
那我们要知道是 Prabhupada 他写下这些文字，我们要去读他字里行间的言外之意，就是实际上他在这里呢说的是当时在印度的那些所谓的那些自称是孤儒的人，但是呢他们实际上并不是真正的就是孤儒，就好比那些婆罗门之类的。
The third point Prabhupada makes is that we should not judge according to superficial characteristics such as where are you born, what kind of family and what are your qualifications.
另外一方面呢就是说要判断这个孤儒的资格的话，不要流于表。不要只是看这个人他是出生在哪里，出生在什么地方，出生这个家庭背景是怎么样的，他有什么样的世俗的资格等等。
In other words, it's not because you're born in a Brahmin family that this makes you a Brahmana.
换句话说，并不是说你出生在一个婆罗门家庭，你自动就成为一个婆罗门。
Prabhupada often gave the example, it's not because your father is a lawyer or a high court judge that suddenly you become a high court judge.
释迦牟尼佛经常也做出这样的一个类比，就是说并不是说你的父亲是律师或者说是最高法院的法官，你自然呢也就会成为一个律师或者是法官。
And similarly, it's not because your spiritual master is an initiating guru that makes you an initiating guru. Also, you need, in other words, the point is you need to qualify.
所以呢，就是同样的这个道理，并不是说你的启迪灵性导师他是收门徒、启迪门徒的，你自然而然也是可以成为一个启迪灵性导师去收门徒。这个前提是非常明确的，就是你必须要具备一个灵性导师的资格。
But again, Prabhupada here is pointing the finger at the Brahmin class in India who were criticizing Prabhupada for giving initiation to people who used to eat meat before, who were born from low class families.
那现在呢，其实他的这个要旨里面呢，他也是暗指这些婆罗门。那些婆罗门就是其实是回应他们的指责，因为当时的这些婆罗门呢，他们就是认为是了 Prabhupada 去启迪了那些 出身非常低下的人，那就是那些西方的门徒啊，都是吃肉的，出生在非常在他们看来非常低贱的一些家庭当中。
In other words, there are many people who are born from Brahman families in India who have no Brahmanical qualifications, and then on the other hand, Prabhupada attracted low class people to Krishna consciousness and trained them with the topmost Brahmanical qualities.
那换句话说，在印度其实是有很多的人，他们是出生在这个婆罗门家庭的，但是他们完全不具备婆罗门的这个品格。但是另外一方面，相反的就是Srila Prabhupada呢，他却把很多出生非常低下的原本这个没有资格的这些人，转变成为了 Vaishnava 奉献者，让他们去修习 Krishna 知觉，而以一种最高的，这甚至高于婆罗门的这种最高的标准和品格，来要求他们，使他们也具备了这些高超的品格。
So he gives example that in India there are devotees who are born from pure Brahman families.And you can see they easily rise to those qualifications of becoming acharyas. But there are others who are born in Brahman families who remain low class.
所以呢，在印度也有这种现象，有一些人他们就是出生在那些非常高贵的婆罗门家庭当中，然后他们也会轻而易举的脱颖而出，成为一位非常伟大的众人所瞩目的这个 acharya 这种。先师宗一代宗师，那么同样呢，也有另外一类人，正好是相反了。他们出生在婆罗门的家庭里面，但是他们一直其实从品格和行为上面呢，都是非常的低下的。
Then Prabhupada gives a quite a very simplistic definition of who is the topmost devotee.
然后呢，就什么样的人就是最崇高的奉献者这样的一个问题呢？是了 Prabhupada 他就给出了一个非常精炼的定义。
The first thing he says is the topmost devotee wears tilak。
然后是了 Prabhupada 他说呢，最高等的奉献者呢，就是他是涂着这个 tilak。
You want to know who is a Vaishnav? Look at their tilak。
如果你要想看一看。一个 Vaishnava 奉献者的话，你就看看他额头上的 tilak。
Now in China, I know in China I only put water tilak。
要是在中国呢，我就是涂的是用水来涂 tilak。
One time I put tilak on to worship the deities in my home in Tongzhou, and then the delivery guy knocked on the door, and I had my tilak on and dhoti on, and I opened the door, I forgot, and the guy looked at me like.He dropped the parcel and just left.
有一次，我就是早上在服务神像，涂着 tilak， 穿着兜底就是一身巴沙奉献者打扮。然后这个时候呢，就有快递来送那个快递了。然后我完全忘了，我一下子就把这个门打开了。然后那个快递小伙看到我，就吃了一惊，然后把这个快递包就扔下来，慌慌张张的就逃走了。
And another time, I finished my puja when we were at the Confucius School, and I was invited for lunch by all the teachers. So I rushed to the lunch, and I sat down, and they all looked at me, and I had this huge tilak on my face.
然后还有一次，我们在这个现代孔子书院当时。那个生活和当老师的时候，有一次他们那些老师请我去午餐，然后呢，就是我很着急的就出门了，穿上衣服就出门，然后等到那跟老师在一起坐下的时候，他们都非常奇怪的看着我，因为我的额头上有个大大的 tilak。
So I always use water tilak because the main thing is to say the names of the 12 places on your body.
那是，所以呢，就是我大多数的时候还是用水来涂这个 tilak， 因为实际上重要的不是这个圣仪的标记，而是说你就是念的这个身体上的12个部分对应的这个Krishna 的名字。
The second prerequisite is that the name of that topmost devotee is the name of Krishna。 with the additional prefix das or dasi. If you don't have a das or dasi, you're not part of the Vaishnava family.
那就是第二个，就是一个先决条件，就是这样的一个最崇高的这样的一个奉献者呢，他的名字里面有 Krishna 的名字，但是最后他一定是以 das 或者是 dasi 作为结尾的，也就是说仆人。如果说你的名字是没有这个后缀，没有这个 das 或者是 dasi 的话，那你谈不上是这个 Vaishnava 大家庭中的一员。
Now this does not exclude those who are not initiated.
但是这并不是意味着那些还没有起义的奉献者，他们就不属于这个 Vaishnava 家庭的了。
So because they don't yet have a spiritual name with das or dasi, we call them bhakta so and so and bhaktin so and so.
那作为这些还没有起义的奉献者，他们还没有正式的得到一个有以 das 或者 das 或者是 dasi 结尾的灵性的名字，所以说呢，我们就是称呼他们为 bhakta 什么什么名字，或者是 bhaktin 什么什么名字。
Right. Next, Prabhupada says, such a person must be initiated by a bona fide spiritual master, not just any gurus here and there.
然后 Prabhupada 接着说呢，这样的一个人，他一定是获得了一位真正的灵性导师。
Such a spiritual master must be engaged in deity worship.
这样的这个灵性导师呢，他必须是在崇拜这个神像。
Such a spiritual master should be able to chant mantras properly.
这样的灵性导师呢，他应当能够非常正确的去念这个 Krishna 的圣曼陀罗。
Such a spiritual master should be engaged in spreading Krishna consciousness.
这样的一个灵性导师呢，应当去传播 Krishna 知觉。
Such a spiritual master knows how to offer prayers to Krishna.
这样的灵性导师呢，他知道怎么向 Krishna 去敬献祷文。
Such a spiritual master should always be engaged in serving Krishna.
这样的灵性导师呢，应当始终在服务 Krishna.
And such a spiritual master should always respect the Vaishnavas.
而且这样的灵性导师呢，应当始终去尊重其他的 Vaishnava 奉献者。
Prabhupada gives all these definitions in three sentences.
这是所有的这些关于这个灵性导师的这个定义呢，是来啪啪啪。他用了三个句子就把它讲完了。
So then he explains such a spiritual master should be accepted as good as Krishna himself.
然后接下来他说呢，应当把这个灵性导师视为 Krishna 那样去接受。
But if one is not a Vaishnava, is not considered a guru.
但是如果一个人他不是 Vaishnava 奉献者的话，那他就称不上是一个 guru 灵性导师。
And even if one is born from a low class family, if they have all these qualifications, they are gurus.
那如果说一个人他是出生非常的比较低下的一个，就是比较卑微的一个家庭。那但是他如果是具备所有的这些资格的话，那他也可以是一个灵性导师。
Now Prabhupada explains also that the spiritual master, if Gaudiya Vaishnava spiritual master should be well versed in Shastra, should know the books.
Who said that?
This is all Prabhupada's Prabhupada.
Yeah, 就是Srila Prabhupada 他说呢，这样的一位 Vaishnava 奉献者呢，他就是。应当是对这个 Shastra 经典是非常的谙熟的，就是非常的熟悉经典。
So you should know the philosophy, otherwise how can you explain and how can you clear people's doubts?
所以说呢，你应当要对这个 Shastra 经典有着透彻的这个理解，否则的话，你怎么去说服别人，怎么样给别人答疑解惑呢？
And Vaishnava philosophy is not just about clearing doubts or giving rules and regulations. Vaishnava philosophy is also to inject the hearing of the pastimes of Krishna within the heart of the disciple.
就是这些答疑解惑，去解除人们的困惑，并不是说只是讲一讲这个 规范的啊这些原则修习的这个方法而已，还意味着要把这个 Krishna 的这个逍遥时光注入到门徒的这种心中啊，这样的一种品味啊注入到他的心中。
So in that sense, Prabhupada says every Vaishnava, by definition, every Vaishnava is a spiritual master.
所以呢那个释迦牟尼接着说呢，他就是说从定义而言的话，其实所有的 Vaishnava 奉献者呢都是灵性导师。
That's why we call each other Prabhu. Prabhu means master.
这就是为什么Vaishnava 奉献者都是相互称呼 Prabhu. Prabhu 的意思呢就是主人。
So, some devotees are spiritual master by qualification, and some devotees have the service of initiating disciples.
有一些奉献者呢，他们就是具备孤乳的这个资格这就是从资格而论的话，品格而论的话，他们就是孤乳。还有一类呢，他们是承担着启迪灵性导师的这个责任，去启迪门徒的。
So after giving the different definitions of the qualification of the guru, now Srila Prabhupada is going to give the qualification of the disciple.
就是在前面呢，Srila Prabhupada他就讲到了一个真正的名副其实的一个灵性导师所应当具备的这个资格。说完了这些之后呢，他就要开始说了一个真正的门徒应当有什么资格。
And we'll discuss this next week.
那么关于这个门徒资格的这个话题呢，我们下周再来讨论。
Hare Krishna. We have some questions.
我想大家已经提上了一些问题了。第一个问题来自于淡然一笑，启迪导师很重要还是启迪导师重要还是训示导师重要？看到门徒对启迪导师非常的投入，却没有训示导师，有的有训示导师，但没有更多的投入。只有高级奉献者能回灵性世界。如果我们的启迪导师是中级层面导师，能回归吗？ So these are two questions from the same person. The first one is who is more important, the Diksha Guru or the Shiksha Gurus? I've seen some disciples who are very dedicated to their own Diksha Gurus, but they don't have Shiksha Gurus. On the other hand, some have Shiksha Gurus, but they are not very dedicated to their Shiksha Gurus. So how to understand?
Again, Prabhupada explains, a Diksha Guru is one who connects the disciples to the Parampara.
那Srila Prabhupada解释说呢，所谓这个 Diksha Guru 就是启迪灵性导师，就是把一个门徒跟这个使徒传系或者叫师徒传承连接在一起的那个人。
So some devotees have to take up that position. It's a service.
所以呢，对于一个启迪灵性导师来说，终归是得要有这样的一个人扮演这样的，就是承担这样的一个角色，就是去启迪门徒。而对他来说，作为启迪灵性导师是一种服务。
Now, if you look at our disciplic succession as we have it in our line, it's mostly a Shiksha line. It's not a Diksha line.
但是如果我们看一下我们所在的这个使徒传系的话，我们会看到在这个传承当中，其实更多的是Shiksha 的一个传承，就是训示灵性导师的一个传承，而不是启迪灵性导师。
All the gurus that are listed in our disciplic succession, they're not gurus and disciples of each other.
就是在我们的这个传承当中的很多的这些 acharya 这些名字罗列在上面的，他们的这种上下关系，很多时候都不是启迪和被启迪的关系。
Most of them had already a Diksha Guru.
就是大多数人呢，他们已经有了一个 Diksha Guru， 就是启迪灵性导师。
But the most important is how they established a Shiksha relationship with a pure devotee and how they received the teachings.
啊，最重要的是他们是怎么样和一个纯粹的奉献者建立起这种训示和被训示的这种关系，然后他们又是怎么样啊持续不断的从这个训示导师那里去啊接受教导的。
So really, once you are connected to the Guru Parampara, the Shiksha relationship is the most important.
嗯，那其实就是说，但一旦当你和这个传承连接在一起，换句话说就是你启迪之后呢，其实最最重要的还是这种训示的一个传递。
But Prabhupada explained in many cases, the Diksha Guru, the one who gives you initiation.Will also be your instructing guru.
Most of the time, right? 啊，但释迦牟尼佛还解释说呢，其实大多数的这种时候，这个启迪你的这个灵性导师，就是启迪灵性导师，也同时就是你的训示导师。他，你主要的这些训示都是来自于他的。
But the voice of a Vaishnava is one. What one devotee says, another devotee says the same thing. They don't contradict each other.
嗯，那这个一个灵性一个Vaishnava 奉献者所说的话，和另外一个 Vaishnava 奉献者所说的话是相互是不矛盾的，也就是说，这个启迪和训示之间他们是没有矛盾，他们的教导是一致的。
So even though your spirit, your initiating guru can also be your instructing guru.That doesn't stop you from having many other instructing gurus.
虽然呢，你的启迪灵性导师就是你的训示灵性导师，但这并不意味着，你就被阻止了，你不需要再去托庇于其他的那些训示灵性导师。换句话说，就是从其他的奉献者那里去接受训示。
Because they all give you the same conclusion.Anyway.
因为其他的这些导师们，他们给你的这个结论也是一致的。
But they may give you complimentary information. They may inspire you in different ways.
他们可能会给你一些补充，在你的这个知识这个讯息当中给一些补充，或者是在一些其他的这个地方给你一些指导。
But we have to understand that the fact that we get connected to the parampara through the initiating guru, that allows for the knowledge and the shiksha to enter the heart.
但是我们要知道呢，这个我们通过我们的启迪灵性导师Diksha Guru 被启迪，然后正式的进入到这个师徒的传承中，师徒传系 parampara 之中。然后这样的一个连接，就使得这个训示灵性的训示能够源源不断的走入你的心中。
So it's not a question of it's not a fashion, you know, to have a guru and then to say, oh, I'm initiated by so and so. This is not about initiation. This is about following instructions.
所以说呢，我们千万不要以为接受某一个灵性导师的启迪。是一件非常时尚的一件事情，是你可以去吹嘘自傲的一件事情。你跟别人说炫耀说我是谁谁谁的门徒，不是这样的。这个不重要，最重要的是你其实在接受训示，接受灵性导师的训示。
And Prabhupada explained to one devotee in the early days, he says, initiation is only a formality. If you follow the guidance of the guru.You are already initiated.
那释迦牟尼佛在早期的时候曾经跟他的这些早期的门徒说呢，其实启迪它是一个仪式，一个程序而已。就是即便是你没有得到启迪，但是你在遵循着一个灵性导师的训示去做的话，那你已经是等同于是被启迪了。
You know, the big day comes, you get your beads, you get your neck beads, you get your name, you get a big black spot on your forehead, you have kirtan, you have a big feast, everyone's happy, and then what?
就是对你来说，这个人生最重大的这一刻 终于来到了啊，就是启迪
去启迪
的那一天，然后你就来到灵性导师的跟前，你在灵性导师面前宣誓，灵性导师他给了你新的这个启迪的念珠，给了你灵性的名字，然后呢祭火就燃烧起来了，你往祭火里面呢扔这个五谷，然后奉献者同时在一边的大声的唱诵庆祝你这个你的启迪，然后接下来你在你的额头上又点上了那个黑点，大大的这个黑点啊，然后这所有的这些启迪的这些仪式过了之后，那又会发生什么呢？
So the real initiation is when you follow the guidance and you follow the instructions.
Okay. 如果说你经过了启迪仪式但是什么都不做的话，那也没有什么意义。所以呢，真正的启迪是在于你去追随你的灵性导师的指导，身体力行的去做，这个是最重要的。OK， 只有高级奉献者才能回灵性世界吗？如果我们启迪灵性导师是中级级层面的导师，能回归吗？If our spiritual master, the initiating gurus, are on the platform of Madhyam Adhikari, can we still go back to the Godhead? And does that mean that only the Uttama following an Uttama Adhikari devotee can we go back to the spiritual world?
We have to understand again what is the meaning of Shiksha connection.
那在这里呢，我们还是要对这个 Shiksha 的这种连接，就是训示的这个连接，要有一个更深入的理解。
Because first of all, we are connected to the Guru Parampara by the process of initiation.
因为呢，首先呢，我们是通过这个启迪来进入到这个 Guru Parampara 师徒传承的。
And we are given access to unlimited shiksha guidance.
然后呢，就这样呢，我们就可以获得无穷无尽的这个 shiksha
就
是训示。
By being connected to the parampara and following the process of Krishna consciousness, we have access to reach the higher level of pure devotional service.
那当我们进入到使徒传习当中，然后接受训示去，去修习 Krishna 知觉的时候呢，去遵循这些规范原则的话，我们就有机会达到一个灵性进步的一个更高点。
And there are cases, and I've heard this from authorized sources, there are cases where the disciple may even be more advanced than the guru.
而且呢，还有一些有权威性的这个来源可以知道。就是说有一些门徒甚至比他的灵性导师其实具备更高的资格。
There are gurus who give initiation to disciples. These disciples are already very advanced.
有一些灵性导师给门徒启迪了，但是启迪的时候其实那些门徒已经是非常非常崇高的。
And the disciple may even take the guru back to the spiritual world.
这样的话甚至可能是反过来的，就是门徒把自己的灵性导师带回到灵性世界里。
And that example is there with Dhruva Maharaj.
就比如说 Dhruva Maharaj 就是这样的一个例子。
Who was qualified to go back to the spiritual world just as he was about to leave. You remember his mother.
就像 Dhruva Maharaj, 他已经可以回到这个灵性世界了，但就像就在他即将离开的时候，他想起了他的母亲。
So it's not just us and the gurus going back to Godhead. The whole parampara is taking us back to Godhead.
因为这个然后呢，就是说，实际上把我们带回到灵性世界的，不是只是我们的灵性导师而已。其实，因为我们启迪连接到了这个使徒传系，那就是说，整个传承当中的这些。Acharya 们这些历代先师们整个的传承他会带把我们带回到灵性世界。
And that's the process. When we do any service, that service first, we get permission from the guru.
无论我们做什么样的服务，首先呢，我们要获得我们的灵性导师的首肯。
When we worship the deities, We don't worship the deities, we assist the guru in worshiping the deities.
当我们去崇拜神像的时候，并不是说我们自己直接的去崇拜神像了，而是说我们在辅助灵性导师去崇拜神像。
Any service that we do is offered to the guru, and the guru offers that service all the way up to the guru parampara, they offer to Krishna.
那我们所做的一切的服务呢，都是卑微的去进献给我们的灵性导师 Guru， Guru 然后在网上献给他的灵性导师，然后通过整个的这个传承中的这些灵性导师，最终呢献给Krishna。
And our aim is to please the spiritual master because by doing so we get the mercy of Lord Nityananda. This is the original spiritual master.
那我们呢，我们的目标就是说通过取悦我们的灵性导师去取悦这个主尼颠难的，而主尼颠难的呢就是最原初的，就是其实就是灵性导师的源头，最原初的灵性导师。
And by getting the mercy of Lord Nityananda, who is the original guru, we get the mercy of Lord Chaitanya.
通过获得最原初的这个灵性导师主尼颠难的的仁慈，我们也就相应的接下来就获得这个 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 的仁慈。
And by getting the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, we get the mercy of the six Goswamis of Vrindavan, and they open the gate to Goloka Vrindavan.
然后呢，当我们有了 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 的仁慈之后，我们就获得了六 Goswami 们的仁慈。然后呢，是这六 Goswami 就为我们打开了通向 Goloka。
That's why Lord Chaitanya empowered Rupa and Sanatan, so they become the one who are taking us into the realm of Goloka Vrindavan through their guidance.
所以呢，这就是为什么 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 他要训示这个 Sananta Goswami 和 Rupa Goswami， 因为正是他们通过他们的这个指导。为后世打开了通往这个 Goloka Vrindavan 的大门。
This is the proper system. We are followers of Rupa and Sanatana. This is our real identity, is that we are followers of Rupa and Sanatana.
这就是我们的这个体系的一个正统的来源。因为呢，实际上我们都是 Rupa 和 Sanatana Goswami 的追随者，这是我们的真实的地位，我们去追随他。OK， 下一个问题来自于 Chintamani Priya Mataji， 顶拜 Guru 顶拜 Mataji， 如果是在 ISKCON 受到启迪的成熟奉献者，多年后却因为不习惯组织的管理模式去自由传教了，并和离开组织的人合作，那他还有作为训示 Guru 的资格吗？如何理解 ？So how to understand? Mature devotee who has got initiation in ISKCON after a few years because he is not is not accustomed to the management system and chooses to do free preaching and also have some cooperation with people who have left ISKCON, our organization. This kind of devotee, can we still consider him as the Shiksha Guru? Does he still have the qualification as a Shiksha Guru? How to understand the situation? Did you get it?
Yeah. There is only one thing to remember.
就是我们只要记住一点就可以了。
When you are in a situation like this, don't ever, ever commit offenses.
就是说如果是有这样的一种情况， you are talking the devotee who have left, 就是对于那
and those who are taking shelter.
Okay, 就是说无论是指但是那些离开了组织去自由传教的人，还是说你可能在跟随着这样的一个人，这两方都要非常的小心，绝对绝对不可以去冒犯。
There were devotees during Prabhupada's time who were in the same situation.
就是在 Shapapa 的那个年代，其实也有类似的这种情况，有一些门徒就是这样的。
And Prabhupada didn't mind that they do their own thing.
就是Srila Prabhupada 呢并不是太介意，就是他们按照自己的方式去做服务， Srila Prabhupada 没有太介意。
But then he said, don't criticize.
但是 Srila Prabhupada 又强调了一点，说不要去批评别人。
If you step outside of the circle for one reason or another, that's fine, as long as you remain an exemplary sadhaka, and you never, and I mean never, criticize. Because if you do criticize or judge,then everything that you try to do will collapse.
就是说如果说有这样的一个人，他踏出了就是说 ISKCON 的这个圈子，但是呢他还是坚持做一个灵修非常严格的一个 Sadhaka, 就是一个规范修习的一个奉献者，然后他去传播 Krishna 知觉，那就没有任何的问题。但是假如说他一开始就开始去指责别人，批评别人，做出各种各样冒犯的事情了，那那个时候呢，也就是他的这个崩溃的那一刻的到来。就是说他想要在 ISKCON 或者这个圈子之外所做的一切都会因为他的这个冒犯而崩塌。OK,
that's all.
这就是我对这个问题的回答。下一个问题，继续淡然一笑询问，谁承担门徒的业报，是释导师还是启迪明训导师？ Who will take the karma from the disciples? Shiksha Guru or Diksha Guru?
Diksha Guru.
是 Diksha Guru 启迪明训导师。下一个问题来自于徐宝英，顶拜和请问 Guru 怎么去多些建立训示 Guru 关系，有必要吗？how to establish the more Shiksha relationship, more relationship with Shiksha gurus, is it always necessary? Please accept my humble obeisances.
Everyone is a Shiksha guru, including you.
其实每一个人都可以是训示 guru 的，包括你自己。
You know, there is a discussion at the moment amongst the senior Vaishnava devotees of our community about formalizing Shiksha Gurus.
现在呢在我们的这个社团的一些年长资深的奉献者当中呢，有一个热烈的讨论，就是说怎么样把这个训示 Guru 的这种关系正式化。
Because we have many Shiksha Gurus in China already as it is.
但实际上在我们中国已经有很多的这种训示 Guru 的关系了，
但
是已经存在了。
You know, there's no official establishment of their position as Shiksha Gurus, but they are already acting as.
就是有很多的这些奉献者，他们实际上已经是一个训示 Guru 的这个身份在引导帮助别的奉献者，但是呢并没有一种就是没有一种正式的怎么说呢名分吧，正式化。
And in the future, it is expected, I mean, it is definitely wanted that there will be quite a few Chinese initiating gurus.
那在未来呢，肯定会有一些在中国的启迪guru啊。
And unlimited numbers of Chinese Shiksha Gurus.
而且还有不计其数的中国 Shiksha Guru.
And when you have that, then you know the yatra is very healthy and Sankirtan is spreading very nicely.
那当这一天到来的时候，我们就知道我们整个的中国区域这个 yatra 呢，就在这个健康蓬勃的这个发展，而整个的Sankirtan运动呢，也在健康的推进。
I mentioned it before. Our dear neighbor, the Russians.
那我之前曾经提过，就是我们非常亲爱的邻居，也就是俄罗斯。
They have now, I think, a dozen sannyasis, Russian sannyasis.
估计得有十二个左右的俄罗斯。Sannyasi, including other countries around, right? Russia,
yeah.
Ukraine, something. 当然我说的俄罗斯不是说只是俄罗斯这个国家，而周边的那些就是前苏联的这些国家吧，加在一起得有十二个左右的。
And the Russian Yatra only began in the late 80s.
整个的这个俄罗斯的这个 Yatra 的这个兴起其实是在80年代末的时候。
And they have approximately 5 initiating gurus.
而现在他们已经有五位就是当地的当地人这个启迪 guru 就是。
And hundreds of Shiksha gurus.
几百个Shiksha guru, 训士灵性导师。
So this shows a healthy growing yatra.
这个就说明这个 yatra 呢正在健康蓬勃的发展。
And so far in 30 years, we don't have one Chinese initiating guru and not one Chinese sannyasi.
但是呢 ,30 年已经过去了差不多。在我们中国到目前为止还没有一位启迪灵性导师也没有一位托钵僧 sannyasi.
So we want such qualified devotees. They are very, very much needed.
所以我们非常的需要这些具备资格的就是奉献者成为这样的一个角色这个其实是非常的必要的也是当务之急的。
And I can see that originally in the Russian Yatra, there were only foreign gurus and foreign sannyasis. They are still going there, but they are taking so much of a back seat now because they're allowing the new Russian leaders to gradually become the shelter for the Russian people.
那我们看到在这个俄罗斯这个 Yatra 的发展的这个早期的时候呢去到那里的都是一些国外的启迪灵性导师然后一些国外的这些 Sannyasi 托钵僧但是经过这么多年这个时间的这种推移之后呢现在他们这些国外奉献者高级奉献者依然还是去的但是他们更多的是退居幕后他们把那些当地的启迪灵性导师和当地的 Sannyasi 托钵僧去推到这个幕前让他们去前台就是让他们更多的去担任这个指导者的这个服务去直接的去带动和影响当地的大批的奉献者
And I know two Russian gurus who have literally thousands of disciples and thousands more waiting to be initiated.
那我就认识这样两个的俄罗斯地区的这个当地的启迪灵性导师，他们的门徒都数以千计了，几千个门徒，而且还有几千个这个其他的奉献者还没有启迪的奉献者在等待着接受他们的启迪。
And guess what? Most of their preaching is online.
而且呢他们大多数的这个启迪不是大多数的这个教导是在网上。
So many people are coming to Krishna consciousness just by getting association online.
很多很多的人就是通过这个网络他们就脱壁了就休息Krishna知觉了。
So, we have a lot of work to do.
所以呢我们的确是还有很多的事情要去做。
Next.
下一个问题。仆人仆人询问感恩咕噜和翻译请问咕噜如果不接受启迪只是在 Krishna 知觉中按照 Vaishnava 应该做的去做能够回归灵性世界吗感恩 If someone without accepting Diksha but stays in the Krishna consciousness following all the rules and regulations that Vaishnava devotee is supposed to do can he or she go back to the spiritual world Thank you very much
Very good question.
这个问题问得很好。
There are some devotees who've never taken initiation who are still in the movement after 40 years.
有一些奉献者的确是这样的他们没有接受启迪他们是40年前开始修习的一直到现在他们依然在我们的这个运动之中。
We call them the eternal bhaktas.
我们把他们称为永恒的 bhakta.
But I can tell you right now, I know some personally, and I can tell you right now that There is a reason why they don't step forward to get initiated.
不过呢，他们为什么没有往前迈一步接受启迪呢？是有一些原因的。
And the fact that they are holding back is because they are misgivings and anarthas in the heart. And the process of initiation will help you to remove those anarthas, without which you can't proceed further.To actually return to Krishna. The reason why Krishna keeps you around as a non-initiated devotee is because you don't commit offenses.
嗯，就是这样的奉献者其实都是有一些心结的，啊，心里面呢有一些坎儿，有一些痛苦，其实是没有越过的。然后还有一些 anatta， 就是这些污染，不想要的一些念，不应该有的一些念头啊什么的。所以就阻止了他们没有往前再迈一大步着，成为这个启迪的这个门徒。这个其实呢，也是就是让他们回归灵性世界的这个步伐就放缓了。但是之所以说 Krishna 依然还让他们留在这个 Krishna 知觉当中呢，是因为他们没有冒犯。
嗯，
如果冒犯了的话，那他们也就没办法了。嗯。但是 Krishna 的知觉其实是可以帮助一个人把内心中的污染 anatta 这些物质欲望啊，还有这些痛苦啊驱除的。嗯。
In other words, you can't just turn up and say, "Hey, I am Bhakta Jung." As a way, where are you coming from? Who's your? That's the first thing. Who's your guru?
At the entrance of the spiritual world. 就是说呢，就是换句话说的，你想进灵性世界，但是门口可能就有一个人在那儿把着，要问你的来历了。你跟他说我是巴卡张，我要进去，那人可能就会问你说你是谁呀？你打哪儿来呀？你的启迪灵性导师是谁呀
？I was reading one time about you know how Krishna has literally thousands of cows and thousands of coward boys.And thousands of coward girls. I mean, literally unlimited numbers.
我们要知道的是 ，Krishna 的身边，他是簇拥着就是千千万万、无穷无尽的这些牧牛童啊、牧牛姑娘啊，还有这些牛犊或者是母牛啊。
Actually, Sanatan Goswami explains it's in one purport, in one commentary on the Srimad Bhagavatam. He says the way Krishna does it is he creates groups. So there are groups of cows.Groups of coward boys, groups of gopis, and you will belong to one of those groups.
嗯嗯，那是萨拉坦戈斯瓦米对圣严波加瓦坦的这个评注当中说到了。其实 Krishna 他是怎么做的呢？他就是建立一些小群啊，就不叫小群，就是建立一些群体，有这个奶牛的群体，然后牛犊的群体，然后牧牛童的群体和 gopi。牧牛姑娘的群，那么你呢就可以选择进入哪一个群里边，你就成了其中的一员了。
And there is this really beautiful painting where you see a little girl standing against a tree, and there's a group of gopis pointing the finger because it's Lord Shiva who turned into a gopi, and the gopis are wondering. The first question they ask you is.Who are your parents? What's the name of your village?
然后就有一幅非常美的、很可爱的一幅画，就是有一个小姑娘，她站在一棵树前面，然后呢，旁边呢就有一群牧牛姑娘，小牧牛姑娘对她指指点点。那这个站在树前的这个小姑娘，其实就是主希瓦变的。然后那群牧牛姑娘呢，就在指指点点问她说，你是谁呀？你从哪儿来的？你的父母是谁呀？你是哪个村儿来的呀
？And Shiva, I mean, you know, imagine that little girl really intimidated, and she couldn't reply. And they said, "You can't be here. You're not allowed to enter."
你想这一个小姑娘呢，立刻就被吓坏了，特别的不好意思，就给镇住了。换句话说，就是这些小一些旁边的那一群小牧牛姑娘呢，其实就是说，这不是你来的地方，你走吧。就把他给赶走了。
And guess what? Even Kamsa did the same thing.
就是 Kamsa 也是这样的。
There's a pastime where Kamsa enters because Kamsa is wondering what's going on in this village of Vrindavan, and every time I send a demon, Krishna is killing. So he wants to go himself and find out, and because he's so powerful and has mystic power, turns into a gopi and gets confronted by the other gopis, and he runs back to Mathura. He says, "I never want to come back here."
这康萨也是这样的，他就 闹不明白这个 Vrindavan 到底是怎么回事， Vrindavan 的这些居民到底是怎么回事，因为每一次我派了一个恶魔去不出一会儿就被杀死了，那我现在我自己倒要仔细去看看这个 Vrindavan 的人到底何许人也，所以他就打扮成一个牧牛姑娘的一个模样，然后他就想进入到 Vrindavan 去探个究竟，但是就被这些牧牛姑娘们立刻就给赶出来了，然后他吓坏了仓皇而逃，我再也不在 Vrindavan 待着了，就被打回来了，我赶紧回 Mathura 去。
And of course the best example of that is the story of Gopakumar in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita. Then you really know what it takes to enter the spiritual world.
当然了，在就是大伯加瓦坦甘露，就是 Brihad Bhagavatamrita 里面 Gopakumar 的这个故事呢，就是最详细的说明了到底怎么样才能回归这个灵性世界。
And Brihad Bhagavatamrita is the very first book that Sanatana Goswami wrote.
这个 Brihad Bhagavatamrita 就是大伯加瓦坦甘露这部书呢，是 Sanatana Goswami 的第一本著作。
So it's being translated as we speak.
就是现在呢，正有奉献者正在翻译这部经典。
It's a BBT publication.
这个是 BBT 出版的。OK, Shruti Rupa Devidasi, 顶拜咕噜和老师们听说门徒是可以自己选择启迪咕噜，但是大多数人都是以物质躯体的概念，比如以咕噜的长相、声音或者心意的评判来选择咕噜，但是也听说有的咕噜会拒绝托庇某些向他申请的门徒，而推荐新人去托庇其他咕噜。请问咕噜们都是以灵魂的层面来接受咕噜的接受门徒的吗？这种关系是不是本来就永恒存在呢？包括回到灵性世界也是如此吗？ Interesting question. It is said that the disciples, we heard that disciples can choose their own Diksha gurus, but many people, the way they choose their guru is based on material concept, for example, how the guru looks, and what about his voice, or based on his own mental judgments. Based on that, they choose a certain guru to be their Diksha gurus. Mm-hmm. However, we've also heard that some gurus will reject some of the devotees who want to take shelter of him and instead recommend a new person to take shelter of other gurus. So my question is, do all the gurus accept disciples on the platform of the soul? This kind of relationship is eternally existing, or even when we go back to the spiritual world, the guru-disciple relationship also pervades?
Very good.
这个问题也问得很好。
Yes, so a guru must have the first requirement, he must have blue eyes.
第一个这个是这样子的一种心态哈。首先我要接受一个启迪灵性导师，这个灵性导师应当是蓝眼睛。
And very good looking.
而且呢非常的英俊。
And very nicely dressed with very expensive quota and doti.
穿的都是价值不菲的 quota, 然后 doti, 就是这个衣袍。
And the garland must be of the best flowers and hang perfectly over the shoulders.
然后呢它这个花环呢应该是完美无瑕的，非常非常的美丽，而且在这个肩上垂下的那个位置也是恰到好处。
And he must lead amazing kirtans.
他这个 kirtan 呢带的非常的动听。
And give amazing classes.
然后讲的课呢也是无可挑剔。
Of course, he's got to have a lot of money in the bank.
当然了，他这银行账号上还得有很多钱才行。
And followed by many, many matajis.
然后很多很多 mataji 都追着他，只做他的追随者。
I pray that you never find yourself in that situation.
我希望你永远不要进入这样的行列。
Now, it's not based on external, and this is actually mentioned in the Upadeshamrita, I think text number 5 or something.
The crooked body.
No, you should not judge the spiritual master based on their birth and external looks.
Yeah. 就是说在Upadeshamrita教会的甘露比较后面的有这样的一个时节里面，就是说到了就是绝对不能来依据一个就是一个 Vaishnava 奉献者去看他的这种外在，看他的这个身体是否有所缺陷，从外在来判断这样的一个 Vaishnava 奉献者，这是一个冒犯。
You see, the point is that because it's a Sankirtan movement, it means we have a public life as devotees.
因为我们这是一个 Sankirtan 运动，其颂圣名运动，也就是说呢，每个奉献者他是有一种公共形象的，他是在一个公共的一个场合当中的一份子。
So you expect a guru to behave in a certain way, to dress in a certain way, which is, you know, which is acceptable. You don't want to turn up in, you know, dirty clothes and say, oh, my guru is another dude, so you have to forgive him.
就是因为我们是一个 Sankirtan 其颂圣名传播这个灵性知识的这样的一个团体，所以说一个孤儒出现在公众面前，就当然他是要衣装得体了。你不能说希望一个灵性导师他就是穿的破衣烂衫的，然后你就说如果是他这样破衣烂衫的出现然后你说哦他是一个 other dude 所以原谅他吧，没有关系。所以你自然你就会期望这个灵性导师这个外表是很得体的。
And there are gurus who don't know how to lead kirtan, but when they chant Hare Krishna, they melt your heart.
有一些 guru 他并不太会就是带领 kirtan, 但是当他去唱诵的时候，他真的是可以融化你的心。
However, a guru should know shastra.
不过呢，有一个前提，这个 guru 他一定是要对这个 shastra 经典有非常深透的理解的。
So this is why we need time to examine a guru before we take shelter.
这就是为什么我们要去考察一个 guru 是需要有一些时间的，就是说你在启迪之前一定要给自己留足一个充分的时间。
Now, as far as the relationship, yes, the relationship is eternal, even in the spiritual world.
这个关系的确是永恒的即便是在灵性世界，这个永恒的关系依然会存续。
Now, depending on how far you go in deepening the relationship with a guru, you may not have the same form in the spiritual world, but the guidance will remain.
基于你跟这个灵性导师这种关系深入的这种程度，那么有可能你到了这种灵性世界之后，你会获得一个不同的形体。但是呢，灵性导师他对于你的这个对于你的这种指导呢，他依然会延续下去。When you talked about deepening relationship, meaning the relationship with Krishna.
No, with the spiritual master.
With the spiritual master. 就是基于你跟灵性导师的这种关系的深入的这种程度。
And on the spiritual platform in the spiritual world, the guidance of the spiritual master may still be there, but it doesn't have to be direct. It can be indirect through others.
就是当你回到了灵性世界的时候，灵性导师他对于你的这个指导依然是在的，但是可能不是一种直接的一种指导，有可能是间接的通过其他的灵魂。
Now we have to understand what guidance means.
那么关于这个指导，我们也要有一个真正的理解。
In the spiritual world, the guidance is in terms of relationship with Krishna to expand the taste in loving Krishna. Not telling you, did you brush your teeth? Did you put your tilak on? This is gone. This is finished.
就是，但我们要知道，一说到指导，这个到了灵性世界，不是还像这里一样。问哎，你刷牙了吗？你除了 tilak 了的吗？这个就不是这样了。到灵性世界，就是指导是基于这个跟 Krishna 之间的关系和 Krishna 之间的这种关系、这种情感、这种品味怎么去深入它？Yes. Okay. I think that's all.
What do you mean that's all? What's this?
Oh, sorry. 还有。往上一拉才看到还有那么多。Sumuki Radha Mataji 说，顶拜帕布和 Mataji 奉献者们感恩你们清晨来自圣地的甘露，传达奉献者的提问，请问从训士 Guru 那里接受灵性导师是否合适接受灵性名字是否 否合适，如何建立对 guru 的完全信心，怎么知道对方就是自己的 guru 呢？看到 ISKCON 的 guru 们都那么好，好像每一位都可以带我们回归，每一位导师的讲课都那么令人受益。 OK, this question is asked on behalf of another devotee. Devotee asked, is it proper to get the spiritual name from a Shiksha guru? How to establish full faith on the guru? How do we know that the other person is our guru? How to know about that? We've seen that all the gurus in ISKCON are so nice, so excellent. It seems that each of them can take us back to the spiritual world, and each of them gives such wonderful and beneficial classes. In other words, I don't know whom to choose.
You don't have to choose.
其实你是不用去选择哪一个 guru.
You take inspiration from whoever inspires you the most.
就是不管是谁，他给了你最大的激励的话，你就可以从他那里去获取鼓舞。
And name is only given by the Diksha Guru, no one.
就这个名字，你的灵性名字一定是你的启迪 Guru, 也就是 Diksha Guru 给你取的，别人都不能给你取这个灵性的。
As you grow in Krishna consciousness, you realize that you need to hear specific things, and then you begin to choose who are the persons who will nourish you the most in that specific area.
那在这个随着你 Krishna 知觉的逐步的在这个中不度逐步的去成长和推进呢，你就会逐渐的就知道在你自己灵性生命的某一个阶段，你需要去聆听一些什么样的知识。在这个时候呢，你可能就会去请某一些灵性导师，就是或者是资深的奉献者，从他那里去聆听，你能够感觉到他所讲的一些话题、一些内容是特别的去给你与滋养的，所以你就更多的从他那里获得了这种激励。
Some gurus will touch your heart more than others.
有一些 guru 呢，他的确是相对于比至于其他的 guru 来说会更深入的就是打动你的心。
So you go with that.
所以你就顺着这样的一种感觉就可以。
Otherwise, it just becomes an intellectual sense gratification that all they all speak very nice, but what are they saying exactly?
就是否则的话，如果没有这样的一个程序的话，那么我们就很容易就是沉醉于一种智性上面的一种满足，就是所有的 guru 讲的课都是这么的美好，但是我们要深入一步，就是这些 guru 们到底在讲一些什么样的内容，是否入了你的心，这个是很重要的，而不是仅仅凭着一种感觉。OK, so Panchatattva Das 说呢，顶拜帕布和 Mataji, 顶拜所有的奉献者不适当的启迪，包括哪些非授权的 Guru, 比圆顿法门顶红离开 ISKCON, Murali, jumping, 跳上去了，我等会看一下啊，和离开ISKCON 的这个Murari Krishna Das, 他们的启迪有用吗？ Is that Murari Krishna? The question is, what does the improper initiation include? What falls in the category of improper initiation? Unauthorized gurus, for example, the Yuan Duan, the Blue Book Guru, and also the Murari Krishna Das who has left ISKCON, what about their initiation? Does that count or not? Is it useful or not?
You have to be recognized by the GBC.
You have to be recognized this year.
You have to be appointed as an authorized initiating spiritual master by the GBC.
首先的话，如果说要做一个启迪的灵性导师的话，首先要受 ISKCON GBC 就是管理委员会的一个授权。
This is the system that Srila Prabhupada to put in place, and that's the system that we follow.
这是 Srila Prabhupada 建立起来的一个体系，而我们也要遵循这样的一个体系。
Because the GBC represents Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada represents the Guru Parampara, and the Guru Parampara represents Krishna.
因为呢 GBC 是代表 Srila Prabhupada， 而 Srila Prabhupada 呢他是代表 Guru Parampara 使徒传系，而使徒传系又是代表了 Krishna 的。
This is the line of disciplic succession, and this is what we need to follow if we want to make spiritual progress and go back to Krishna.
所以呢，这个使徒传系是非常的重要的。只有通过这样的使徒传系，我们在灵性上，在 Krishna 支持中才能得到进步，才能回到灵性世界。
Everything else is dangerous.
其他的一切呢都是非常危险的。除此之外 ，Smoky Red Mataji。以外，帕布马特吉，请问只是托比还没有准备好接受启迪，觉得帕布太少而不愿意和迷信奉献者联谊，如何才能进步呢？这个是一个男的奉献者，一个帕布说的吧。What about only taking shelter of a guru, but I feel that I am not ready to get initiation.The main thing is I feel there's so little Prabhus in our community, and I don't want to take too much association from the female devotees. Then how can I make advancement?
You have Srila Prabhupada.
你有 Srila Prabhupada, 圣帕布帕。
This is the first duty of an aspiring disciple, is that they take full shelter of Srila Prabhupada, which means his teachings, his instructions,And his example.
就是一个热诚的一个奉献者，首先就应当是托庇于Srila Prabhupada的。你通过怎么去托庇Srila Prabhupada呢？就是说去托庇于他的训示，托庇于他的指导，以及Srila Prabhupada的以身作则的榜样。
No one should get initiated unless they have full knowledge of Prabhupada's teaching.
就是只有说完全的了解了Srila Prabhupada的教导。一个人才能去获得这个启迪，如果没有这个前提的话，就应该还去接受这启迪。
So when we actually take shelter in Krishna consciousness, means we take shelter of Srila Prabhupada.
所以呢，当我们在 Krishna 知觉当中托庇呢，这些事就是意味着托庇于 Srila Prabhupada.
So we have to read and study his books.
所以呢，我们就要去阅读去熟知 Srila Prabhupada 的书。
We have to become. This is. We're going to talk about this next week. You have to be inquisitive.
下周我们就讲到了，就是一个真正的门徒要具备什么资格呢？这里面就是要这个去求知就是说去询问。
To chant 16 rounds.
要念诵16圈。
So all the, this is coming up next week.
这个下一周我会进一步的讲来自于哈里顶戴咕噜，请问如果做的生意涉及到微量的肉类成分或皮制品、茶、咖啡、酒类、麻醉产品，会给我们自己和托庇的咕噜带来一些业报反应吗？但如果咕噜允许同意我们这么做，并且如果我们把赚到的大量财富布施给咕噜和我们的社团，仍然还会有不好的业报吗？The question is, if someone does some business which involves a little bit of meat ingredients or leather or tea or coffee or liquor, little bit intoxication, will that bring some karmic reactions to oneself and also the guru whom has accepted him, his shelter?He has taken shelter from. But if the guru allows us to continue doing that kind of business, and if we donate a lot of wealth to guru and our community, does it still incur some unfavorable karma?
Prabhupada answers very nicely that question.In the second section about the qualification of a disciple.
就是在这个Srila Prabhupada他解释这个就解释的第二部分，要旨解释第二部分，就是讲到了门徒的资格的时候，他有非常清晰的解释。
And what you're describing is an absolute recipe for disaster.
就是你刚才所描述的这种情况呢，就好比是一个。灾难的配方。
This is you open anyway. We don't have time, but you open even slightly you open the door. And believe me, we are not in the spiritual world here. This is Maya's domain. She will enter and destroy everything.
你所的这些描述什么肉啊皮制品这些就是这些禁忌的这些东西对枫叶者来说其实这个是玛雅做主的那个 领域啊你哪怕是把这个门只开了这么一小个缝可能呼之而来的就是这个一大堆的这个灾难了最后你可能就会被吞噬了所以这个很危险这个知道了
Kelly,
谢谢 Papu 和 Mataji 请问在灵性世界的身份如果是一颗小草和灵性导师的永恒关系是怎么体现呢So if our identity in the spiritual world is a small blade of grass so how does it that manifest in our eternal relationship with our spiritual master thank you very much
Because you've already decided to become a blade of grass.
因为你已经决定想要做灵性世界的一根小草。
But you don't know, maybe your spiritual master would be a blade of grass next to you.
那你也不知道，有可能灵性导师也是一根小草，在灵性世界就在你边上待着。
Or your spiritual master will be a gopi and step over you.
但是有可能你的灵性导师呢？就是一个牧牛姑娘，她会把她的莲花足踩在你的。
Or your spiritual master will be a cow, eat you, chew you, turn you into milk. Mother Yashoda will get the milk and cook for Krishna.
也有可能这个灵性导师呢是一头奶牛，他把你这个草呢给吃下去了，草又变成了牛奶。Yashoda妈妈把这个牛奶挤出来，把这个牛奶去熬了煮了给 Krishna 喝。
These are higher topics with our. Are quite technical how the different rasas play out on each other to give pleasure to Krishna.
这些都是一些比较高深的这些话题了就是这些 rasa 这种关系它是怎么展示的相互又是怎么样互相作用的然后呢又是怎么样通过这些 rasa 的关系而带给Krishna 快乐的。
So everyone and everything is 100% Krishna conscious.
所以呢所有的一切每一个人都是100%的 Krishna 直觉的。
So the connection is there because whether you're a blade of grass, a cow, a tree, it doesn't matter. Everyone is engaged in giving pleasure to Krishna.
就是在这个灵性世界不管你是一棵树一根草一朵花一头奶牛还是一只小鸟。就是你都是100%的在为 Krishna 做奉献服务的，然后呢，你也完全的给 Krishna 带来完全的这种喜悦，就是完全取悦 Krishna 的。
Okay, we will stop here because it's too late now. We'll finish next week because next week we're going to have part two, which is the qualification of the disciple.
那很抱歉现在我们已经是两个小时的课了就是有点太晚了我们最后剩下的两个问题呢可以留到下一周一开始就来回答就是在下一周讲那个门徒的资格的时候
Thank you very much Sumukhi Radha Mataji
感谢 Sumukhi Radha Mataji 的主持
Thank you Krishna Premi for your translation
感谢 Krishna Premi Mataji 的翻译
And thank you for all your excellent questions
感谢所有奉献者精彩的问题
I hope I have answered to your satisfaction
我希望我的回答能让你们满意
Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Kijai Srila Sanatan Goswami Kijai Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Kijai Srila Prabhupada Kijai Kashadesh Yatra Kijai Go Premanande Hari Hari Bol
百坤台之音服务员一聆听亲爱的奉献者们今天的永恒的Chaitanya经是Chaitanya Charitamrita的讲课就到这里结束我们现在讲到的是 Madhya Lila 的第24章就是有关于 Asmaram 十节的64小解释感谢大家的聆听祝大家度过充满 Krishna 知觉的一天 Hare Krishna 下周周三再见